Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I am your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for joining us today as we continue our study through the New Testament. We're rapidly approaching the end of the year, and I hope that you've been keeping up throughout this study. But if you haven't, remember, you can go back to the on-demand section and catch up with us. All you have to do is, from the homepage, click the on-demand section, find the Mornings for the Master icon, find those chapters you may have missed, and catch up, and we'll be here when you get back. Today, we're going to continue our study as we are now in the book of Revelation. We will be in Revelation chapter 8 in just a moment. Really don't have anything on the bulletin board this morning. Not a whole lot going on this time of the year, but we want to put a little bug in your ear and let you know that we will be having our Make Me a Servant workshop that first week of February here in Mount Vernon, Texas. We want you to come be a part of that, and hopefully you can make it. If not, we will broadcast it here on the network as we have in the past few years. But maybe you know something that's going on in your area. Do us a favor. Shoot us an email, mornings@tgrn.org. Maybe put a note on it for the bulletin board, and we'll do our very best to get it out to you in a timely manner. But we're going to take a short break before we begin our study this morning, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From His shining throne on high, comes to watch me when
The Savior will wipe every tear. The Savior will wipe every tear.
God is a mountain raised, 10,000 blessings fall. To Him my life, my health and breath, and every good I owe. He fills my heart with joy, my lips a tune for grace, and to His glory I'll be born, the remnant of my day.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. And I'm Richard Rutledge, and once again, I thank you for joining us today as we continue our study of Revelation chapter 8. Ryan was out of town and unable to be with us this morning, so it'll be me alone as we go through this study. A very short chapter. We have 13 verses that we're going to be covering. As we look now at the end and the opening of that seventh seal, we're going to then find the seven trumpets will be sounded, four of those in this chapter. And so we'll note those this morning. We'll break it up into several bite-sized pieces as we do so and see what truths we can gain from the text this morning. Let's start out here in Revelation chapter 8. We're going to begin with those first two verses. As those first two verses, we are going to see then this seventh seal was opened. And when he opened the seventh seal, it tells us there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, after the seventh seal has been opened, it tells us now that there is a great pause of silence, almost as we would endeavor to say, silence before the storm, the quiet before a hurricane has now been come. The anticipation is building. But it tells us that there is the delay even before judgment. Notice, remember back in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, and these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, and having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. There was a delay in the judgment to come, and now a pause before the trumpets are sounded. These trumpets that we're seeing here, trumpets that would be sounded for many reasons in the Old Testament. There was the trumpet that would be sounded for the assembly back in the book of Numbers in chapter 10 and verse number 3. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In verse number 5, and when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. So they not only to assemble, but to move. Drop down to verse number 9 of that very same chapter. It is also an alarm for war. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, that alarm as well, if we keep reading in verse number 10, was blown during the times of festivity as well. In Numbers 10, verse 10, also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So the announcement of the trumpets, the trumpet would be blown for these purposes. We have seen seven seals that introduce the judgment. We're going to hear seven trumpets that announce the judgment, and the seven bowls of wrath, the judgment that will come. Now, he also says that I saw these seven angels, the ones who stand before God, and they were given these trumpets. What will they now do? Well, let's look at verses 3 through 5, because there was another angel there as well. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. We have another angel that is mentioned here in verses 3 through 5. This angel is one who now has the incense and was given much incense. Remember earlier we saw the fact that the prayers ascended and they were as the incense burning before God. But we also see this imagery of Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, where in Ezekiel records for us about, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance and the likeness of the throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with white linen, and he said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherubim, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight." There was the fact that this would be spread out across the sinful Jerusalem. But now it is going to be poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth. It's going to be poured out on the earth. The angel then took it and he cast it down. Verse number 5. Verse 5, it was cast before and upon the earth. A fiery judgment. Now, it's not the end judgment, the end of all, because we know in 2 Peter chapter 3, when that fiery judgment comes, there will be nothing left. This old world will be consumed, burned up, but he has poured it out upon these ungodly men. We see the fact that in chapter 9, that there were those who would still remain, so it's not the fact that it was everyone. There were still some who would remain, chapter 9, verse number 20 and 21. But this judgment was poured out. We also see a symbolism in these trumpets that will blow. Now, remember all of this that is recorded for us. John told us it was going to be in signs. Well, we'll see them even here in the trumpets. Now, notice what happens as the first angel sounds his trumpet. The first angel, verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. In verse number 7, we have that first trumpet the land disaster that took place. Hell and fire mixed with blood. Again, we see such things mentioned in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 30, and also in the book of Exodus with the plagues that came upon Egypt there in Exodus chapter 9. Here is this fire and hell mixed with blood, a judgment being poured out upon the earth. Again, it's not a final judgment because a third of those were affected by it. Not the entirety of the earth, but a third of the earth. A third of the trees were burned up. A third of all the green grass was burned up when all this came about. Verses 8 and 9. Now notice the second of those trumpets that will sound in verses 8 and 9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. We've had judgment upon earth with the first trumpet. The fire and hell mingled with blood was thrown upon the earth. And a third of that was destroyed. Now we have this dealing with the marine disasters. We're having the sea affected. And when we see this sea affected as well, we see then the idea of maybe even the burning mountain, a volcanic eruption. Remember, John's, those who would have heard John and who would read this surely would have heard of the destruction of Pompeii, Mount Vesuvius, that great destruction that took place in around 79 A.D. But it also reminds us of the judgment in Egypt once again. Why? Because what does he say? He says, but a third of the sea became blood. Remember that first plague that would affect Egypt? And a third of the living creatures in the sea would die, and a third of the ships would be destroyed. We are having now the effect upon not only land, but also on sea. A third trumpet will be sounded. Notice verses 10 and 11. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers, on the springs of water. And the name of this star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died because of the water, because it was made bitter. Verse number 10, with this great burning star that falls from heaven, it's going to affect the drinking water that men would acquire. It's a judgment upon that fresh water, the water that was needed to sustain life. And with it, it says that this great star, that the star's name was Wormwood. Well, wormwood is a general name for a class of plants that would had a bitterness to them. But wormwood is also something that is referred to of the judgment upon those of the who were disobedient to God. And here they would suffer that consequence. Some have even inferred that this was a problem that took place even in the time of Marcus Aurelius when the pestilence and plagues that faced the Romans, where it says in Rome, in one day, 2,000 would die from pestilence. So here this water is contaminated, and the water is bitter. But understand something else. It says in there, he said, a great star fell from heaven. The origin of this disaster, again, it is a something that came about from God. And with this fourth trumpet, the final trumpet of chapter 8, is now going to affect the heavenly realm, as he points out the fact that when the fourth angel sounded, the third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. The fact is, we've already had the effect of land, where a third of the vegetation was consumed and burned up. We have the oceans, with the third of the oceans turned to blood, and the fish and the sea creatures would die. We have the fresh water, third of the fresh water affected with the rivers. And now even those panic-causing scenes of the heavenlies, as the stars and sun and moon would be affected. This terminology that we see here is also used in other places. We could go back and we could notice the dream that Joseph had in Genesis chapter 37 in verses 9 and 10. And he dreamed another dream, and he told his brethren, and he said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told this to his father, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What does this dream mean? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come and bow ourselves before you on the earth?" So when some read this, they say, well, we're talking about a problem with the governmental officials that are going on in the time of John's writing. There's going to be these assassinations and coups that come about because they look at them in that manner. But we could also go through and see Isaiah uses it as a time of judgment scene, as Isaiah 13, verse 10, "For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his goings forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Even Peter, in that great sermon in Acts chapter 2, reminds his listeners that they were not drunk, as some suppose, but he says, "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show them wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There were those great wonders in the heavenly realm that were going to be visible and were showing to these who could be observed. Even in Revelation 6, John has already said in Revelation 6, 12 and following, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken with a mighty wind." And Joel, even in chapter 2, verse number 10, says, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw from their shining." So is this the case that we're talking about some coup from that would overtake a third of the political leaders of the realm? Or is it just exactly as we see a visionary statement of the things that would happen that would cause panic and wonder to the people of the time? These four trumpets are setting up for something even worse to come, because in between these four soundings, there is yet another interval or a pause as he looks up in this final verse of chapter 8. Because when that happened, he says in verse 13, "And I looked and I heard," and now the King James and the New King James say angel here. ESV, ASV gives us maybe a better translation of it, and it says an eagle. "But I looked and I heard an eagle flying through the midst of heaven, and saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." It's a warning that the worst is yet to come. Some would point out the eagle instead of the angel, as the King James, New King James renders it. But the eagle was a ill omen to the people of the ancient times when they would see it. And here now, this great bird of prey flying in the middle heavens, in the mid heavens, is calling out and giving warning that there are three more coming, and these three more are worse than the four that came. Well, chapter 8 is a brief chapter dealing only with these 13 verses that the four trumpets sound and the events that followed. Well, you'll have to continue listening to chapter 9 tomorrow with Ryan in order to get the rest of the story of what unfolds with the seven trumpets. You have listening opportunities throughout the day. You have opportunities here shortly with Jim Dearman, the Good News Today, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy. Remember to check that schedule on a regular basis, especially after the first of the years. We're hoping that new programs will be able to kick off at that time. We'll do our best to inform you of them and let you know when those start. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.